My name's Ben Doyle, director of Rubber Duck and founder of Afterparty Studios, and this is Untalented by Unknown with Canva.
Okay, we're going to kick straight into this. I'm going to ask you, what do you do, but can you explain it as if you're talking to a 14-year-old?
So my job, I'm a director, and the director job is kind of general, and I'm kind of standing on the shoulders of lots of really talented people in loads of different specialist things, and kind of like an orchestra conductor.
Ooh.
My job is to go and bring all of those people together, make sure that there's one singular vision, but also allow them to go and have their own opinions and express themselves. So like they're a production designer, someone that designs the sets, is really talented at that specific thing that I'm not talented at all. So my job is to go and be like, how do you help me realize this vision that I've written down on a piece of paper? So that's kind of it. It's kind of like, how do you go and get loads of people that are all have different ideas and different mindsets, pick the right ones for this job, and then bring them all together to make one singular thing that's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I think I get that if I was 14. Okay, what is one thing that's helped you move faster in your career?
The internet. The one thing that's helped me move faster in my career is definitely the internet, because like traditionally I would have had to go and climb a ladder of like earn your stripes and all these different archaic random ways with loads of gatekeepers, whereas suddenly the internet made me go and was able to go and meet a YouTuber, be like, oh, there's this world here where they had audiences of millions of people, and then bounce from level to level to level much quicker, like literally through, and I always say it's through KSI and KSI alone, that when I was 21 I did a documentary feature with him that got picked up by Sony Pictures, and that is physically impossible to do, and it's nothing to do with me. It's only because he had a massive platform. But that, I think, is the greatest, most profound like way that you can see that this online world is just moves differently. There's not like it's more down to like who's got a good idea, who can make something the fastest, the best, the most interesting and entertaining. And that's the great thing you see on like TikTok, right? You can post a TikTok, there's no boundary to stop you from posting a TikTok and becoming famous overnight. And that's kind of what's happened in my career in a slightly different way.
Love that. Money. Mm-hmm. What can the top earner in your industry earn?
So as a director, the thing that no one ever told me when I was coming up in directing was like, yeah, what you should charge, what the rates are, what the expected thing is. In commercials, in the commercial side of things, generally you're 10% of the budget. So if you're working on something that's £100,000, you'll get 10 grand. And that will cover you for a month of work, 2 months of work, 3 months of work sometimes. So that's like a kind of rule of thumb once you enter the commercial side of things. And that obviously then once you get into the film world and features, then it's kind of limitless. And that's the dangled carrot that everyone's kind of aiming towards. But yeah, it kind of ranges anything from directors generally are getting anything between £1,000 for a shoot day with a bit of prep before it and a bit of edit afterwards, all the way up to like 20 grand per shoot day and upwards of that.
Love that. Thank you. Okay, moving into our specific questions here.
Yeah.
Okay, what is one piece of internet culture you saw before everybody else, and how did it shape your creative lens?
So one piece of internet culture I saw was, I was fortunate enough, like I say, with KSI to see that he was having this boxing match back in 2017. Heard he was having a boxing match against another YouTuber called Joe Weller, and no one knew about it publicly really that it was happening. And I was like, let's go and make a film about this and put it on your YouTube channel. And started following him, started filming him, and so got to see that blow up into like influencer boxing and what it is today and Misfits. So like that years ago, I think that more recently, Italian Batch. I was on Italian Batch, the TikToker, a few years back. And I'm like, he's incredible and he's so funny. And I've been going into every brand meeting for the last 2 years being like, you should work with him, you should work with him, you should work with him. And now he's obviously like, everywhere. Yeah. He's like, you know, his star's rising and rising and rising. I don't think there's really a limit to where his star's going to go, because I think he's got the comedy, he's got I can see him writing something really good. I think that's what interests me about him. And so I think, yeah, but it's part of the job. You've got to be chronically online, consuming these people, watching this stuff, and seeing an Italian Batch pop up a few years ago doing his little things. I could see then that there's something more to this, like he's more calculated. It isn't just, one hit wonder. He's got the brain that's like, I think if you put him in a previous generation, then you're looking at like the TV greats of comedy that came up. Like he would have been that, because his mind works in a different way.
He's amazing. I wasn't expecting you to mention him. He's. I looked over here because Sean and I have a weird obsession with Italian bats.
Really?
Yeah. He's just, but like also the advertising he does is unbelievable. Like,
yeah.
I didn't feel any of the things he's doing is an ad. It's super smart.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Okay, what's one format or platform that you think is completely underrated?
So I think at the minute, no one's thinking about scripted on short form in the UK. And I think that there's massive potential. There's a huge gap for like writing really tight scripted dramas or comedies. And they do it a lot in like China. You've got the like minute dramas where on platforms like the Chinese equivalent of TikTok, there's a platform where you get the first few episodes free of this kind of like minute long drama series that's serialized. You're watching a minute and then a minute, then a minute, and a minute. It's hooking you in every time. And you get the first like two or three for free and then you have to pay for the rest. And I think that that model over here could be massive. Because I think that people, no one's making scripted stuff for young people. There's no, when I grew up, I had Inbetweeners and Skins and stuff like that. Like, find me, what is that? Euphoria? Like, there's nothing specifically made for young people that's scripted, full stop. And they consume in a different way. So why not go and make it on their terms on the platforms that they consume on with the people that they like to watch?
Yeah, bang on. What is one thing young creators understand instinctively that the industry still underestimates?
I think inherently every creator understands that it's entertainment before anything else. Like, it doesn't matter if you've got an idea that you think is the best idea or the best products or whatever. If it's not primarily entertaining, these platforms are made for a conversation between you and me and not for a conversation between me and insert random brand.
Yeah.
And so creators understand, they're not even thinking about that. It's instinctive for them to go and be like, how do I entertain you and keep you coming back and keep iterating and do more of what works and less of what doesn't on an entertainment basis? And then if a brand can think like that and be like, my job is just to entertain this audience and be find a way for my brand to show up in that in a really organic way, that's when you win.
I want to ask you a specific question on that.
Yeah.
What has been the most seamless version of a brand showing up in culture that you've seen in the last 12 months?
I've seen it. It's very rare.
Yeah.
It's like, it's very rare because I get it. Like, everyone has different, I think it's super rare because everyone has different agendas as a agency and a brand, and you've got the creators, and it's kind of like this real mismatch. But I've just done a project recently that I think was a great example is a scripted thing with a brand, and the brand really understood that they hired really great cast that were going to be in it and they're going to go and elevate and give it an audience, and they let them have fun and we're just like, the job here is our products, we're confident that it's on our channel, so the brand's intrinsically linked to it, we're in it, peppered into it in a really subtle way, but ultimately what we're making here is a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
And I know that that's going to fly versus stuff where it's like, let's put the logo in the first frame and let's say the product mention every single 5 seconds. Like, that's not what the platform is built for. And is, I always think, like, for a brand to realize that it's better to make one really good piece of entertainment, and that might be a 45-second TikTok, than trying to make this like mad suite where your brand is tied into every single element of it. You're trying to shoot it for 9:16 and 16:9 and 4:5 and 1:1, and everything's a compromise. And then you make 20 pieces of content that no one cares about.
Yeah.
And you could just make one really tight piece of content that everyone engages with, and that will get you way more eyeballs. And that's, I think, on the creator point, what a creator is thinking about. A creator never sits there and goes, how can I make this YouTube video into also into a load of TikToks and Reels and stuff like that? They just think, how do I make a banging YouTube video?
Yeah. Weirdly, that kind of answers the second question, which was, I don't know if we go with that. Let's see if your brain goes somewhere else for this. How do you turn a TikTok brief into a world-bending moment without it feeling corporate?
Yeah, I think the best way to take a TikTok brief and turn it into a world-bending moment is, like, again, it's thinking about what was this platform built for? And if it's on TikTok, then it's for a singular interaction. Like, it's not serialized really, and that the chances are someone's going to watch one thing once. And so I think it's doubling down and to be like, how do we go and make something that is a single great idea that follows all the platform best practices of having the talent's face in the beginning, in the opening frame of it, all that kind of stuff. But then just thinking, like, what is my brand known for in this, in the world? What do people associate me with? And then how can I come up with an idea that takes a great talent that would naturally use my brand or be associated with it, or their fans would use it, take entertain an idea that is just like funny or sad or something that's just gonna get elicit an emotion out of the audience, and then let them go and run with it and trust the creator to go and do their thing and have an opinion. Because that's the other thing, I think you can always tell when the creator feels like a talking meat puppet and they're just like doing your thing, versus when they get involved and they're making it. And that's really what you want, is you want the creator to be making and driving the content.
Love that. Last question. What does success look like for creators beyond views and metrics?
I think success for creators is making someone care. I think the sole job of a creator is to make people care. And I think that goes across everything they do. And that's about caring about them, caring about brands they work with, caring about what they have to say, their opinions on the world. I think that success is when you can say something and your audience listens. Mm. And that might be in the form of a TikTok, that might be in the form of a song you make, wherever you want to go. In your boxing, you know, you look at the people, all the influencers that are killing it, it's because they've managed to create a dedicated community who, when they speak, the audience listen and want to hear more. And I think that if you're sitting there as a creator and you've got that, you can go and put something on your Instagram story and people listen to it, then that's what true success is, because they're coming back for you time and time again. And that's, you know, all the guys and girls that I work with who have been doing it for now 10, 15 years, like, that's incredible to maintain an audience. Find me a brand that's really had, you know, I'll change trainer brand like that. Like, I'll go and change my washing powder. Like, all these things, it's really difficult to, when you think of it on that terms, to stay a fan of one person for a decade. And every time that they post, you're like, oh, I want to buy that thing that they're talking about, or I want to help them, or I want to watch their content and be entertained by them. And that's only really built by making great entertainment and serving your audience first and foremost, and not thinking about, it's kind of a selfless job in many ways. The thing that you're just like, what do you want? And I just want to give you more of that.
Yeah, I love that. You smashed this, by the way.
Thanks.
Last question. You have one last question. It's our plug question.
Should watch your question.
It's quite a random one, but what is the weirdest thing that you've used AI for?
I mean, I think that the weirdest thing I use AI for is like, is as like a sounding board for stuff or to like expand. I think that I'm constantly in dialogue with AI. Like, I'm constantly being like, what do you think of this? Or like, am I missing something here? And so I think that it's not weird in the sense of like a weird application of it. It just feels kind of like dystopian.
Yeah.
There's part of me that's doing it and I'm like, this is amazing. But this, I feel like I'm in a sci-fi movie doing it. And so throwing an idea into an AI and being like, is there something I'm missing here? Is there another perspective on it? Because I think that's it. Like, I am a straight white man and I make stuff from a singular viewpoint. Mm. And that's why being a director is great, because you get to harvest loads of viewpoints, and AI opens you up to infinite viewpoints. You can put it in there and be like, what would someone from this community think of this idea? How, like, you can use it as like a bit of a sounding board to just get outside of your own head. And then suddenly you look at an idea from like here, rather than here, and you see it completely differently. And I think that that's how I constantly use it, is being like, let me experience this idea from someone else's eyes, how they're going to see it on the platform. Or, and is that as funny as it could be, or as entertaining, or is there a better idea there? ChatGPT, I mean, I literally have it on my phone, like on my homepage. I have the text to speech, like,
yes,
within like a second.
Yeah,
I'm like chatting and I'll use it non-stop. Like, it's like a
wife.
Literally, it's like, it's one of them ones where like I'll bring it out and be like, I have some niche DIY problem, and I'm like, how do I fix it? Then, because also the memory that ChatGPT has, where it like knows what.
Do you remember the last time you fucked this up?
Yeah. It's like, you're not really shit at DIY. Maybe you like put the hammer down. But no, it's like, where it's got the memory, it knows the context of things. And then I was trying to find a pun for something yesterday, and I'm just chatting to it. And I'm like, I was trying to find an analogy for something.
Yes.
And I was like explaining it. And then it knows exactly, like, it banged it out so perfectly first time, because it knows me inside out.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's like a personal assistant in many ways, or like a
personal amplification.
Yeah. Well, I think that like creative jobs, it's impossible to be creative in a vacuum. You can't just like have an idea and not have someone to talk it out with.
Yeah.
But sometimes you are alone, and so just being able to be like expand that on idea, or for me sometimes putting something in there and then having it explain it back to me, I find helpful, where it explains things in a way that I would make logic jump. So if I'm telling you how I want to do how if I'm telling you how I want you to do something for me as a director, I'm expecting to know certain things that I know because I've been on the project for 4 months and you've been on it for 4 minutes, and so it will explain more. So I think it's also that bit that it helps not do those logic jumps quite as quickly. I'm trying to think of more on Hinge. I mean, I'm like glued to ChatGPT.
That's perfect though. I well the DIY thing, but also like just the I've never thought about AI being diversity, like diversity of lens, of opinion, of
I
like
think it's very important for like all of the different subcultures of the world to go and train their own AIs, and that goes for everything from my left-leaning liberal perspective to like right-wing, because then we'll be able to understand. Like, I can't currently understand why a right-wing person thinks the way they do, but maybe if there was right-wing ChatGPT, I could, because I could go and type it in and be like, "How do you see this?" And it's that, I think that's a very extreme example of it, but like, I think that for people in the marketing world, if you can go and put your idea into a machine and go, how is this viewed from all these different cultures, all your blind spots that we all have, then you've got a complete picture of what your idea, how it's perceived by loads of different people.